8 Ways to Improve Your Listening Skills. The ancient sales myth that is still perpetuated today is, your ability to be a persuasive speaker is the secret to successful selling. But the truth is really that successful selling and recruiting are the result of superb listening. Thus, the title of this particular session is, 8 Ways to Improve Your Listening Skills. There's no doubt that being persuasive is a tremendous asset for any recruiter to possess. Here's the missing link, though. What do you need to be persuasive about? You need to be persuasive about the things your applicants have told you they want you to be persuasive in telling them. You know, if you're off target and you're persuasive about the wrong things, you may as well not be persuasive at all, because all you're going to do is present the wrong recommendation, and that's going to put up some red flags for the applicant. It's basic to your success as a recruiter that you boost your empathy and have an in-depth understanding of your applicant. You need to understand his or her needs, interests, and desires to gain commitment from the applicant. In short, you have to discover what your applicant needs so you can give the applicant what they want. Before we get into the specifics of the 8 ways to improve your listening skills, let's discuss the 2 master keys to finding out what your applicants want most. Asking and listening. It's not asking and telling, and it's also not telling and telling. It is asking and listening. By asking the right questions and listening to the responses, your applicant is giving you the pieces of the puzzle. Then, when you make a recommendation, you're really putting the puzzle together for them. Unfortunately, far too many recruiters have serious misconceptions about the meanings of these 2 words, asking and listening. Too often, recruiters believe that asking only means asking someone to sign an enlistment contract. It's common in the private sector, too. Think about it for a moment. You probably cannot remember the last time a salesperson asked you a question, such as, how will you use it? Or, what do you like most about it? Before they asked you whether you would like to pay with cash or credit. So, let's briefly re-examine these 2 words. This time, though, let's look at them from a value-based selling philosophy. Asking means that if you pose enough of the right questions of the right people during your sales interview, you are more likely to gain a lot of accessions. Listening means that it's absolutely critical for a recruiter to pay attention, careful attention, to what the applicant truly says, and then determine what they really mean by what they said. Too many people in the recruiting profession have been incorrectly advised to use their listening time to think of what to say after, and sometimes even before the applicant even finishes. To improve your listening skills, that focus must change, and it must change in a very radical way. To survive in a crowded and highly competitive marketplace, recruiters must lay aside their own interests so they can discover and satisfy the needs of their applicants. So, now, let's take a look at 8 ways to improve your listening skills. Number 1, listen with your eyes, your heart, and your ears to be truly receptive to the messages the other person is legitimately communicating. This is where your empathy level comes into play. Are you able to put yourself in the shoes of the other person? At this point, you cannot afford to have a listening barrier between you and your applicant. Number 2, give your applicant your undivided attention. Begin listening from the very first word. Don't let your mind wander off to where you're going this weekend or start thinking about your next appointment. Number 3, focus on what the applicant is saying, not what they're going to say next or, worse yet, what you're going to say next. Don't try to read meanings into what you think the other person is saying. Actively help the other person convey his or her meanings accurately to you. Now, this can be easily accomplished by saying something like, "That's interesting. Tell me more." Furthermore, there's nothing wrong with asking your applicant any of the following questions. "I don't understand what you mean. Could you clarify that for me? Could you expand on that a little bit? Could you define that better for me? I'm sorry, I don't understand. Can you give me an example of what you mean?" Number 4, never interrupt an applicant, but be interruptible. Interrupting is offensive and rude. It also sends the message that you're not serious about listening or understanding what the other person is really saying. On the other hand, if you are talking and your applicant starts to speak at the same time, immediately stop talking and listen to what they have to say. Don't try to talk over them, because the louder it gets, the less anyone hears. Number 5, control as many outside interruptions as possible. If you're meeting in your office, turn off your phone unless you're expecting an emergency phone call. Some people think they should answer routine phone calls when they're in front of an applicant. We disagree. If the person sitting in front of you possesses all five characteristics of a qualified applicant, do you think the person calling in is more qualified? It could be a wrong number. It could also be someone who keeps talking and ties you up for several minutes while your applicant sits across from you staring at their watch. Additionally, turn off the computer speakers so that you don't hear any of those annoying vocal or musical email notifications. And unless you need your computer for the interview, turn off the monitor so your applicant doesn't catch you looking at it instead of him or her. Lastly, if you have a private office and can shut the door, do so. Someone who enters the lobby area during your interview does not need to hear what the two of you are discussing. And by the way, if you are meeting an applicant at a location other than your office, such as their home, school, or place of business, turn your cell phone off and keep it out of sight. Even a vibrating cell phone can break the concentration of the two of you. Number 6. Put your body into it. Get involved. Show your applicant that you're truly paying attention. If you're face-to-face, look the person squarely in the eye. Use facial expressions and other nonverbal clues to show them that not only are you hearing what they are saying, you also accurately understand what they mean and what they feel. Number 7. Don't overreact. Stay cool. Never react to highly charged words or tones. Hear the person out, then respond. Most people will cool down and begin to talk calmly once they vent their anger and frustrations. Remember, unless you accurately understand what someone is saying and truly plug into their greatest needs, you are never going to find yourself selling the needs the applicant really wants to have fulfilled. And finally, number 8, take notes and place stars next to important points. As the ancients say, the palest ink is more powerful than the strongest memory, especially when you're on the phone with somebody and they can't see you and they don't know what you're doing. Let them know by saying, "Just one second, I want to make a note of that." Now they know you're paying attention to them. And during the probe step, every time you uncover a problem, issue, or benefit that's important to the applicant, place a star in your notes. Keep probing for as many stars as possible. Remember that 3 stars are good, 5 stars are great, and if you listen enough to get 7 stars, they're toast. Don't forget, never settle for just 1 star. We've heard some recruiters say they don't like to take notes because they say they have a good memory. Even if you believe your memory is good, what if several weeks or months go by between meetings with an applicant? Is your memory good enough to remember every detail? Most people believe doctors are very intelligent. And yet, don't you feel more comfortable with your physician when he or she takes notes regarding your symptoms, test results, and recommended treatments? Do you want your doctor to rely on memory alone when he or she sees many different patients, just as you see many different applicants? Probably not. So, take notes. In the final analysis, customer-focused selling is all about maximizing the 2 master keys to success, asking the right questions, and truly listening to get an understanding of someone's deepest desires. Asking, listening, making sure you listen the right way, and putting the puzzle together. But it has to be the puzzle they want constructed, not the one you want constructed.